From Milwaukee's NPR, this is Capital Notes. We break down the big political news affecting Wisconsin. I'm Mayan Silver, speaking with J.R. Ross, editor of WisPolitics.com. He provides a roundup of the Wisconsin developments you need to know. Here's our latest conversation. Hi, J.R. Happy, great to talk to you. Happy day.
Hey, same to you.
Thanks. Okay, so the April 2nd election is not just the presidential primary. It's also a regular nonpartisan spring election with local offices on the ballot around the state. In southeast Wisconsin, there are elections for mayor, circuit court judges, city and county boards, school boards, etc. But I do want to focus for a moment on the presidential primary choices that will be on people's ballots. Can you explain how the primary works in our state?
Sure. So one, in Wisconsin, we have an open primary system, which means you can vote either in the Democratic or Republican primary. You don't have to be registered as a partisan to do that. And then you'll have your choice within those fields of who you want to vote for. Now, the races are pretty much settled, right? Joe Biden and Donald Trump both secured enough delegates to win their party's nominations. What will happen here is both political parties have a formula for how the vote turns out, the number of delegates that those people get. Then they go on the convention, Milwaukee and this summer for Republicans, Chicago this summer for Democrats. They'll be on the floor of the convention hall, and then it comes a roll call for Wisconsin's votes. Somebody will announce that's X votes from Wisconsin for Joe Biden and Y for somebody else. And then the Republican one, you know, A for Donald Trump and B for somebody else. Then, you know, for the most part, there won't be a lot of drama because these guys have secured enough delegates to have the nominations. Now, if there were somebody in an election that didn't have enough delegates to secure the nomination, be an open convention, broker conventions call sometimes, and then it'd be a fight on the floor for who would win, or if something happened to Joe Biden or Donald Trump between now and the summer, then you'd have a different situation. But for right now, it's pretty much a formality, except for a couple of things. One, Democrats had this option on the primary ballot called uninstructed. It's been there for a long time. We've seen similar options in other states where people unhappy with Joe Biden's foreign policies, especially with the war between Israel and Hamas, have used that to express their discontent. That's something I'm watching to see, is there a big groundswell of support for that option, which would be a rebuke for Joe Biden. On the Republican side, you know, Nikki Haley dropped out of the race, but we keep seeing states where she gets a good chunk of the vote in the primary, which suggests that there are people who are hardcore Republicans who are not happy with Donald Trump as their nominee. So what's it look like in Wisconsin? Is there any like widespread discontent over Trump? That's something to watch. At least there's not a lot of drama for our primary in Wisconsin, but that's why something interesting to watch April 2nd.
Is there anything else that people or political watchers or anyone could take away from these primaries in terms of how it's instructing whether Democrats are turning their voters out more or Republicans are, or any other factors that you're looking to?
You know, it'd be pretty organic enthusiasm because there's nothing really on the ballot. Like, I mean, the Milwaukee mayoral race, for example, and county executive race, I don't want to downplay them, but there's not a lot of kind of energy around those races. There looks like the mayor and county executive are in a really strong position to win re-election. We're not seeing heavy ad buys from both sides. It's pretty one-sided. We don't see a lot of big local races in other communities that would drive turnout. So there's no statewide race for Supreme Court. Now, this is really, I mean, do you care enough to turn out in the presidential primary when the race has already been decided? So we're not expecting very high turnout for this one this spring.
And when it comes to like early voting efforts, both parties are trying to get their voters to turn out early. Is there anything that you're looking for in terms of statistics, how people are voting, that could be instructive of how people are voting in November, anything like that?
It's just hard to say because it's so different. Like if you go back and compare it to 2020, while we were in the early parts of a pandemic in 2020, right? So it's a much different kind of race. Now the parties do kind of use any election as like dry runs, you know, try out some new voter outreach. They might be doing phone banking to encourage people to turn out, stuff like that. But it's just, there's not a lot of juice around this presidential primary because the race is pretty much over.
And once a party has its presumptive nominee, which is what has happened with the Republicans and the Democrats now, what are the next steps when it comes to conventions? Obviously, Milwaukee will be hosting the Republican National Convention. Who are these delegates and what do they do?
They're party activists who are bound to a candidate. So let's just take the Democratic primary, for example. Joe Biden wins X percent of the vote in the primary April 2nd. He will get a number of delegates according to the formula the party has for that. They all go to Chicago bound to vote for Joe Biden on the floor of the convention. Now, the uninstructed option, if it gets enough of a threshold, it crosses the threshold to win delegates, they would go and they would be able to cast their votes the way they want to. It's a something to watch there. But it's kind of, these conventions have become glorified political commercials over the years. There used to be some drama years and years ago, but we've really, the race has been decided with these primaries, and there's not a whole lot there other than the parties try to put on a four-day show of unity, drive their message. They want to, you know, get to people about why they think they should be in the White House, those kinds of things. So it's kind of more of a pep rally for the base and a message vehicle for swing voters if they tune in. And let's be honest, how many people spend four nights in a row watching speeches hour after hours? Not a huge audience, but there are people who turn in, dorks like myself, and kind of pay attention to see what's going on.
Nice, nice. We can count on you to tune in, JR.
Yes. As a side note, when I was 14, I did watch both national conventions my summer before high school started. So, yes,
I will admit to that. That's fantastic. That is a badge of honor. I would say so. You're tuned into Capital Notes. I'm Mayan Silver, speaking with JR Ross, editor of WizPolitics.com. All right, so JR, drop boxes became controversial in the 2020 election. They were widespread in cities like Milwaukee for voters to return absentee ballots. After the election, conservatives sued, and the then conservative majority on the state Supreme Court ruled that drop boxes were illegal in Wisconsin, except for the ones at the municipal clerk's office, and that voters had to physically return their own ballots. That issue is now headed back to the state Supreme Court, which now has a liberal majority. What do we need to know there?
Well, the writing is on the wall that this court is going to reverse that decision on the use of drop boxes and allow them. I mean, just go back and look at the dissenting opinion written by Ann Walsh Bradley, I believe, in 2022. That's going to be your roadmap of what the liberal majority probably will rule. It's probably, I don't guarantee anything with judges, but probably rule when they get that case back before them. And don't forget, too, that second piece of the court's ruling that only a voter can return his or her ballot. There is that federal ruling made clear that if you have a disability, you can't get it to yourself, that you can have assistance. So there is that caveat to that. But yeah, it looks like the court is going to reverse that decision. I mean, in the order accepting the case, conservative Rebecca Bradley basically took her liberal colleagues to task, saying this case has been predetermined. They've taken the majority. Now they're going to flip the decision. And I haven't found many attorneys yet who disagree with that opinion, that this is going to be reversed and they'll have drop boxes this fall in Wisconsin again.
Do you think that conservatives will embrace drop boxes as a way to get absentee ballots back if that's the rules in 2024?
That's a good question. We're seeing the state party, for example, Wisconsin, really push banking votes. Brian Schimming, the state GOP chair, has said a number of times they cannot start every election day down a couple 300,000 votes. They have to get Republicans to embrace early voting, whether it's in person or absentee. That then allows the party to focus on more casual Republican voters and make sure that they're turning out. So we'll see. But honestly, like with absentee voting, go back and look at 2020. If I remember correctly, about 60% roughly of the ballots cast at election were absentee, either early in person or through the mail. In 2022, the number dropped to 30%. Now, that was still well above what it was pre-COVID. But we're getting back to kind of voting more like normal, quote unquote. So I don't know how big a deal the drop box decision will be. Another thing you kind of pay attention to, I've had a couple people point this out to me, is, you know, Republicans, Trump supporters claimed he lost Wisconsin in 2020 because of various things that were in place, like drop boxes, like the stands for absentee ballots. Well, we're going to have a series of court cases the next few months that we're going to revisit those issues. If the same stands are in place in 2024 that were in 2020 and Trump wins Wisconsin, what will the supporters say then about those policies and how they affect how people vote in Wisconsin and the legitimacy of the results?
Are you implying that people bring lawsuits based on the outcomes that they desire?
Oh, no, never. Never would say that they have goals and they file these things, or that they pick certain venues hoping for a friendly judge. No, never happens.
A lot of things, when it comes to politics, things are just very self-serving.
Well, I'm just saying that, you know, part of the reason we have in Wisconsin is the Wisconsin Elections Commission is tasked with administering elections and setting policy. they have a hard time agreeing on anything. It is a deadlock, hopelessly deadlocked board with three Democrats and three Republicans. And so you're seeing more and more the courts being the ones who are going to decide these issues. For example, the state Supreme Court's been asked to decide whether it was appropriate that Racine used a mobile van for an early absentee voting site in August of 2022. You know, the Elections Commission had issued its opinion on that. It went to a circuit court judge who overruled that it wasn't proper. Well, now the Supreme Court's being asked, hey, what do you think? They stand up for absentee ballots. If you're a witness, for example, what constitutes a complete address? What do you have to have? Do you have to have just your street number and name? Do you have to have your city? Do you have to have your zip code? Like, what's the standard? Because it's not clear in state law what is an address when it comes to voting early absentee. That's an issue that the court could decide and set the standard for this fall. So there are all kinds of things like that that we're going to see where the courts are increasingly being asked in Wisconsin to say, what's the law mean? And it's the makeup of that Supreme Court that dictates that. In 2022, state Supreme Court said, no, you can't use drop boxes. They're not expressly authorized in state law, ergo you can't use them. In 2024, a liberal majority might have a different opinion about that and set a different standard going forward.
Well, we could get down a whole rabbit hole of whether what people think, you know, court's role in precedent and honoring precedent and all that sort of stuff, which maybe we'll get to on another Capital Notes. But in this one, I wanted to switch gears for a moment and just ask you, what's the latest in the recall effort against Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss? So just to fill people in, Trump supporters have organized an effort because they're upset that Voss refused former President Donald Trump's request to overturn the 2020 election. And Voss's district includes Northeast Racine County and Southwest Milwaukee County. So what's the latest there?
So they filed a petition seeking to recall him with enough raw signatures to cross a threshold. But upon further review from the Elections Commission, they appear short. And now Robin Voss has filed his formal challenge to those recall petitions, basically making three main arguments. Number one is that they should never get on the ground in the first place because there's no map. Remember, in December of 2023, the state Supreme Court threw out the map that was used in 2022 for that election, saying it was unconstitutional because it had these municipal islands, non-contiguous territory, and said you can't use that map for election going forward. The map Governor Evers signed in February to put new lines in place for this fall specifically says it does not take effect until the fall elections, the August primary and November general election. We're basically in this place where there is no map, technically. And Robin Voss is arguing this can't go forward because of that. Actually, the state Supreme Court's been asked, hey, what do you guys think? Which map do you think is in place right now or could be used? Because there's also a vacancy for the 4th Senate District in Milwaukee that could be filled in a special election if we knew which map to use. Issue number two, Robin Voss says, whatever version of the district that he has you use, they're short. He was the lawmaker from the 63rd Assembly District this past session. He was drawn into the 33rd District, this new map, a lot of overlapping territory. But whether you use the old lines or new ones, he says you're short. You can't approve a recall because of that. The third tier of this challenge is, look, you look at those signatures, and he says there are problems. For example, if you are a felon in Wisconsin, you have to complete your sentence, be eligible to vote, and circulate petitions for either for a nomination paper or for a recall. He's saying there are several people who have felony convictions who circulated nomination or recall petitions, and he thinks the commission should check to make sure have they complete their sentences, and if not, should reject all of their petitions. He's got about two dozen cases of people who say, hey, that wasn't me. I didn't sign, or I was tricked into signing. One woman said she was approached by two people in a parking lot and was basically wouldn't allow her let her get into her car unless she signed a petition to support women's rights. She said once she realized there was a petition to recall Robin Voss, she said, take my name off of there, and they didn't. So he's alleging fraud. And, you know, there are other deficiencies he alleges. So now going forward, the people who filed the recall petition, they've got a window to respond to Voss's allegations. Voss can respond to that rebuttal. Then you've got about a two-week deadline for the Elections Commission to say this can go forward or not. And the betting wisdom in Madison right now is it's not going to happen. If they want to go through Robin Voss, they'll wait, try and go after him in the primary in August for his new assembly seat.
Thanks for that context. You know, there's really kind of a lot of back and forth there. Well, and thanks for wrapping everything up for us and joining us on Capital Notes.
Oh, anytime.
That was J.R. Ross, editor of WisPolitics.com, speaking with me, WEWM's Maayan Silver. Listen for our segments every other Monday with an extended segment on Lake Effect, and check out the Capital Notes podcast wherever you get your podcasts.